Hello and welcome to day number 69 of Bible in a Year with Pastor Steve. It's so good to have you with us today, whether you are returning or you're here for the first time. Hey, there's no better time than today to start reading God's Word and seeking God's face in Scripture so that we might be informed and changed because of it. Today we'll be reading from 1 Samuel chapters 15 through 17, Psalm 69, and Proverbs 7. This is spelled out by our Bible in a Year reading plan. If you need that, you can click the link that's in the show notes and you'll be brought to a page where you can download it or print it, whatever you want to do. If you're enjoying the Bible in a Year reading plan, I ask that you hit like and subscribe on your listening platform of choice. That will help you find out when there is a new episode launch, usually first thing in the morning, but sometimes later on in the day. But also, it helps this podcast get seen in search results. So I would love for you to do that to benefit both of us. If you do, thanks. I really appreciate it. But friends, without further ado, let us jump into God's Word together. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Samuel said to Saul, "Yahweh sent me to anoint you to be king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, listen to the voice of Yahweh's words. Yahweh of armies says, I remember what Amalek did to Israel, how he set himself against him on the way when he came up out of Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and don't spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing baby, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." Saul summoned the people and counted them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. Saul came to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the valley. Saul said to the Kenites, "Go, depart, go down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them, for you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. Saul struck the Amalekites from Havilah as you go to Shur, which is before Egypt. He took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, of the cattle, of the fat calves, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and were not willing to utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then Yahweh's word came to Samuel, saying, "It grieves me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned his back from following me and has not performed my commandments." Samuel was angry, and he cried to Yahweh all night. Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, and Samuel was told, saying, "Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a monument for himself, turned, passed on, and went down to Gilgal." Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, "You are blessed by Yahweh. I have performed the commandment of Yahweh." Samuel said, "Then what does this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the cattle which I hear mean?" Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the cattle to sacrifice to Yahweh your God. We have utterly destroyed the rest." Then Samuel said to Saul, "Stay, and I will tell you what Yahweh said to me last night." He said to him, "Say on." Samuel said, "Though you were little in your own sight, weren't you made the head of the tribes of Israel? Yahweh anointed you king over Israel, and Yahweh sent you on a journey and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed.' Why then didn't you obey Yahweh's voice, but took the plunder and did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight?" Saul said to Samuel, "But I have obeyed Yahweh's voice, and have gone the way which Yahweh sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder, sheep and cattle, the best of the devoted things to sacrifice to Yahweh your God in Gilgal." Samuel said, "Has Yahweh as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying Yahweh's voice? Behold, To obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry and teraphim. Because you have rejected Yahweh's word, he has also rejected you from being king. Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of Yahweh and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, please pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship Yahweh. Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected Yahweh's word, and Yahweh has rejected you from being king over Israel. As Samuel turned around to go away, Saul grabbed the skirt of his robe and tore it. Samuel said to him, Yahweh has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today, and has given it to the neighbor of yours who is better than you. Also, the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not man, that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet please honor me now before the elders of my people and before Israel, and come back with me, that I may worship Yahweh your God. So Samuel went back with Saul, and Saul worshiped Yahweh. Then Samuel said, Bring Agag, the king of the Amalekites, here to me. Agag came to him cheerfully. Agag said, Surely the bitterness of death is past. Samuel said, As your sword has made women childless, so your mother will be childless among women. Then Samuel cut Agag into pieces before Yahweh in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. But Samuel mourned for Saul. Yahweh grieved that he had made Saul king over Israel. Gracious and eternal God, we thank you for the gift of this day. We thank you for the gift of your word. We pray that you would send forth your Holy Spirit to enliven our senses, illuminate your word so that we might find truth, and that we might apply this truth to fertile soil within our hearts, that we may bear fruit for you, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in 1 Samuel chapter 15, at verse 11, we hear the words from God saying, It grieves me that I have set up Saul to be king. We're reminded that the people, because of their waywardness, because of their worldliness, wanted a king like the surrounding nations, someone that they could put their hands on and see with their own eyes. God said previously that you're not going to like it, but I'm going to give you what you want. This person's going to take advantage of you. This person is going to be someone who turns his back on me, and it's not going to be a good situation. And here we are in chapter 15 now, when God gives orders to Saul to go and get vengeance, because vengeance is God's, on the Amalekites. They were the ones who came up against Israel soon after they left Egypt. So Saul gets his troops together and goes and attacks them, but he does some silly things. He spares the Kenites. Then he keeps some of their choice goods from the spoils of war for themselves, instead of utterly destroying. This is kind of like a repeat of the theme in Judges, isn't it? Where God told the Israelites to utterly destroy the people in Canaan, to dispossess them out of the land, so that they would not be a snare for the people of Israel any longer. And here we go, Saul is doing the same thing. Next, Samuel and God have a conversation, and both of them agree that what Saul did was wrong. And Samuel went back and confronted Saul, and Saul came up with an excuse. Hey, we just kept those things so that we could offer them up to Yahweh in worship. But something very important is revealed. Samuel says to Saul, it's better to obey God than to offer up sacrifice. God wants our obedience. He wants our heart. He doesn't want us just simply doing things for the sake of doing at the expense of having a relationship with God. when it comes to our lives, we ought to consider whether we are just constantly running and running and running and doing and doing and doing for God's sake, but at the expense of having a true relationship with God. And one of the ways that we can take stock of that is examining our daily habits. Are we taking time each day to dedicate to prayer and to seeking God in Scripture? Or are we simply serving ourselves? Do we make excuses for ourselves that, hey, if we work these extra hours and make all this extra money, that we'll sacrifice it, at least some of it, to Yahweh? But at the end, we find ourselves run ragged, where we feel like we are empty, where we feel like God isn't hearing us, where we feel like God has turned his back on us, all because we have neglected to do the better thing, that is to seek God, have relationship with God, to center ourselves and to prioritize our lives. When we do that, we are pleasing God. We are serving God and we are being effective for God's mission in our lives and in the world. So I encourage you, friends, to pattern your lives in such a way that prioritizes God. You're doing a great thing, I believe, by being part of this Bible in a Year reading plan, because that is making a priority of seeking God in God's Word. That's a great first step. But consider also how you can take time to pause and to just simply be with God. That's important, and Jesus modeled it all the time with his disciples. After doing work, when they were tired, Jesus made a habit of calling them to himself for rest. It's part of the pattern of creation, too. 6 days there were in God's creating, and on the seventh day there was rest. And we're to model that pattern in our lives as well. So friends, lean into that, and I hope to see you again tomorrow at the same time and at the same place. Until then, God bless.